Hello, we are live. Welcome to Have You Asked Your Dad? My name is Terence Mentor, also known as Afro Daddy, and I'm joined as always by the man to my left, Sean Lutz. Hello, Sean.
Welcome to Have You Asked Your Dad? The podcast is hosted, of course, by Terence and myself, Sean. And between the two of us, we have three kids, one that's biological, one that's adopted, and one that has special needs. But they're all perfect in their parents' eyes. And we discuss a variety of things that relate to dads and parenting.
So yeah, that's our big story, but the slightly littler story for today is the idea that traveling with kids is something we should be doing. Traveling with kids is something that we could be doing, but there are a lot of things that make us stop doing that because it can be scary or difficult or traumatic. Today we want to talk about ways that we can enjoy the experience a little bit more and maybe even make it enjoyable for our kids as well. We're talking about traveling with kids, and to help us do that, we have the travel influencer extraordinaire. If you ever want to feel jealous about the places you go, this is the man you should follow. Mandla Dambuza, thank you so much for joining us. Mandla, before we get into the actual topic for today, I just want to say you may have noticed that we're all a little bit choppy. That's because we're in three different locations in two different cities. And Sean and Mandla just informed me that actually South Africa is having like a bit of an internet crisis to add on top of all the other crises we're having. So, today is going to be a little bit shaky. We're going to try keep going. We're going to try to fight through the technological barriers that we face and provide a fantastic time together. Thank you so much if you're listening on the podcast as well. So let me just get into this. Mandla, I've hinted at the fact that you are someone who travels quite extensively, and if you go into your Instagram page, I kind of hate you a little bit because the places you go are so beautiful.
Mandla, I've got to say, I had a squiz at your Instagram account. I don't know how you do it, man. I really don't know. I mean, I have a definite level of jealousy. But then there's the complexity level of actually getting to the place before I can even experience the level of jealousy to create the content that you've created. Has out of interest sake, what do you do for a living? Is that kind of part and parcel of what you do day in and day out?
Not really, not particularly. So I think professionally, what I do on a day-to-day, I'm actually in sales. I'm in distribution, and I work for the world's leading energy drink. So yeah, so that's my day-to-day. That's what I do day in and day out. The traveling, it's part and parcel of like our family thing, what we do and how we choose to spend our time, like outside of work and all of that. But it has sort of, if I look at how it started about, call it 5 years back, and where it is now, it has really gradually grown to something more than just obviously just leisure and just family time. It's actually taking up quite a bit of our time as well, and there is I'll sort of call it, there is a professional side to it as well, but it's not my day-to-day thing. It's not what I do on a daily basis.
Well, to come back quickly there, Terence, before you jump in, I now understand how you have the energy to keep going if you work for the right. I mean that we went right there. And I must also add that yes, the photographs and the videos and everything on your Instagram account are absolutely breathtaking. They're beautiful, and I'm sure it's taken you a while to get to that point. But I must also comment on the fact that part of the bio reads that you're traveling to express, not necessarily to impress. And I love that sentiment. Clearly going out, exploring, learning, sharing, and there's this holistic approach to making sure that you as individuals, as parents, as a couple, as a partnership, get to make memories together with your kids. And I think the essence of today's episode is how do we make those memories in a way that doesn't bring about stress for everybody? How do you go about choosing locations that you travel to?
Yeah, so I think most of the locations we actually see on Instagram, I would say about 80% of them we actually see on Instagram, and we're like, wow, this place looks fantastic. And then we'll go into the actual establishment, check out their pages, check out their Facebook, check out their website, check out what rooms they have, what do they look like, what facilities do they have, are they child friendly, are they not child friendly. How far are they from us, and all of those things. So I think I'd say about 80% is looking through like Instagram, and then I would say about 10% is no, actually that's I'll probably say about 60% is Instagram, and then about 20% is actually requests of people reaching out to us to say, hey, we've got this place. Would you like to come check it out or whatever? And then the rest, I would say, it's from like recommendations from people to say, hey, I've been here. I think it's a good spot for you to check out. So yeah, I think 60% is actually Instagram, and it's crazy to think that. And it's something that I always share with the places that to go to say, guys, it's actually crazy how we actually use Instagram these days to find locations and to find what to do. If I'm in Cape Town, I'd actually just go hashtag Cape Town and I'll check what are people doing in Cape Town, where are people going, where are people staying. And instead of using Google, I think in the past it was like Google Cape Town, what's happening in Cape Town, or but I mean like Instagram and social media have made it so convenient to be able to access sort of like locations that like would previously maybe check on Google. So yeah, I'd say 60% definitely Instagram. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know if I'm thinking about going to somewhere really nice, I go to your Instagram account and I go, yeah, I think that's a good, let me see what he's been doing. And then I'll daydream a bit. And then in the end, my wife says, no, we're staying at home. So with all of those options that you see, with all the places you've been, is there a particular place, and we're totally happy for you to shout this out, is there a particular place that you like to go with your children, where it's just like great to go with your family, where your kids have a good time, where you have a good time, and it's not you're not tense, it's a good relaxing time as a family?
I would say there's been a couple of places. There is no one particular place that we've gone to with the kids where they really enjoyed it, and we keep on going back to that place. I think we try not to go to the same place like twice or like three times or more than that. But what there's been two places that they really, really enjoyed that we've recently been to. One is a wildlife nature reserve just close to PE. We went there, they really enjoyed it there. Zoe is still too young, so Zoe is my son. He's still too young to sort of really like take in the sights and enjoy all the facilities. So Z, my daughter, actually really enjoyed the place is called Nyosi Wildlife Game Reserve. She really enjoyed it, loved the pool, loved the whole environment around it. And then recently we're also in George at Sanjika. She loved it, and we all loved it as a family. And then most recently in Knysna this past weekend. I think out of all of those establishments, if I can be honest, I think the one we went to recently, which is Pezula, is probably the most child friendly, probably one of the best that she's actually really enjoyed. They have a kid zone, which we had to go back to every 10 minutes. That I want to go back to the kid zone. I want to go back to the kid zone. That they have a heated pool. So also had to go back there a couple of times. And she enjoyed the gym facilities. So I was at the gym and she decided to join me. So I think that one. Oh yeah, and we took a drive to the beach. She absolutely loved it. She was playing there the whole time. So I think that one particularly, she really enjoyed herself there. And I think it's mainly because the place itself is really child friendly. Some of the locations that we go to aren't really child friendly. They don't have any facilities for children to go play. And I think that's what made this particular destination very like very good for her.
Shauna, before we get
Yeah.
to the next question, I actually asked this question the next question ahead of time with some of my Instagram followers, and I'm just looking at some of the answers. The one that really caught my eye was, if you want to travel easily with kids, travel at night so that they sleep for most of the
Because
journey.
they'll be sleeping.
And then other people had ideas like, oh, you can keep them occupied with singing songs to them. And I thought, okay, great, keep them occupied by singing songs and talking to them. But that's good for like half an hour before you start to run out of songs
Yeah.
or your voice gets tired. And finally, one last
Or the
person,
internet cuts on the
or
road
the
and
internet
you
cuts on
can't
the
play any
road.
more songs.
Yes. And what another follower on of Have You Asked Your Dad said was, in the lead up to that, he records himself reading stories to them when he reads a story to him at night, so that he basically does audio, audio stories, and it's his voice talking to them, which they're used to. It calms them down. I was like, that's a great
hack. Genius.
That is genius.
That is genius. I've actually never thought of that. That is next level. That is dedication and a half.
Well, that's this. Those are the stories we like to unearth for dedicated dads everywhere. Sure. I think that is a, like you say, completely next level.
Sure.
And as a podcast creator, I just want to say, like, snaps, like, dude, you have outdone the rest of us. When it comes to hacks, I must agree with you, Terrence. I know you were posting that up on Instagram earlier today and asking community to say, you know, what are the things that you've done to make that process of getting to the location? Because Munda, like you've said, you've now figured out a method of choosing somewhere to go, but getting from point A to point B is sometimes a very stressful process. It's the packing and getting everything in the car on time, trying to get to a destination, because sometimes gates close or reception is not open, or check in with a self-catering location, for argument's sake, has to happen at a particular time. There's always some kind of limitation along the way that builds the stress levels. Have you and your wife, between the two of you, do you have a silent communication style of divide and conquer in making sure that the family is ready on time so you can leave? And like, what's that process like? Talk me through the getting ready to go.
Yeah. So I think that's the one of the hardest parts. Like you say, it's you see a location, you love it, you booked, you're ready to go. But I mean, what happens behind the scenes is never seen, right? So for us, we kind of do have a system that we follow, like you said, like a silent system that we follow. And for us, a trip doesn't start on the day where we're actually driving to the location. It actually starts as we decide, okay, we're going here. Number one, are we taking the kids, yes or no? And then we say, okay, sure. Okay. Yes, we're going with the kids. Okay. And the preparation starts from there, because now we have to think, we've got a six-month-old and a six-year-old, very different, completely different ages, and their needs are different, right? Even when we travel, their needs are different. So we have to first think, okay, for Zoe, who's my son, who's 6 months, how long is the trip? So from us leaving the house and to us getting to where we're going, is it 2 hours? Is it 3 hours? Is it 4 hours? Okay, in that time, he's going to need to feed maybe two times. He's going to need to feed maybe three times. We're not going to stop on the side of the road and try and feed. We have to prepare his food before we even leave to make sure that we've got everything that he needs. We have to prepare his diapers, have to prepare everything, and make sure that that is all packed in one bag that's not going to go to the back or the boot of the car, which is going to be kept inside the car.
Yes.
So
I'm with you. Okay.
Yeah, and then for Z, I also have to check. Okay, her, because she watches a lot of like these kids YouTube stuff. I have to make sure like there's no internet on the road, so I have to make sure that download some videos for her to watch. Is it sufficient content for her to watch from when we leave and when we get there? Is the iPad charged to begin with? Because I don't have a charger for that in the car. and then obviously thinking, okay, so out of that, we're probably going to do maybe two activities, or there's a pool there. We need to think about clothes. So we start packing all of these things like days leading up to the actual excursion, so that by the time we get to the actual day, we are not stopping on the side of the road to try and feed. We don't get there and we're like, no, Z doesn't have a swimwear. We don't. Like, we try and mitigate all of the inconveniences. So it's a lot of planning, which is, again, like, it's never seen. It's a lot of planning that happens behind the scenes. So I think now we do have a system. We know what to pack. We know how to pack. We know how to prepare. Well, actually even check, like, okay, from here to there, how many gas stations are on the way? Where are we going to rest? Where are we going to stop? And all of this. So we calculate all of these things that we never used to, like when it was just the two of us. And sometimes when it's just the two of us, I can come straight from work, grab my bag, and we're out. And we'll see everything as we go, you know. But like with the kids, it is a bit tricky. It is a bit different. It does need a lot of planning and a lot of patience on the road as well. It does take up a lot of planning.
So you see, this is where my big struggle is, because it's the planning and the doing it consistently ahead of time. I'm very much a we're leaving in an hour, now I'm gonna start packing kind of guy. Drives my wife crazy. But the other thing that I'm also really surprised at nowadays being a parent is when I have to travel anywhere by myself, how little I actually need. Like, I've taught myself to travel light because the kids take so much car space that this
They
all
do.
you
They
just
really do. They really do. I can go on a 3-day trip with just my backpack.
good to
But I
know.
mean, just yeah, but just one day, just one overnight with the kids. I'm packing the whole boot. I've got strollers, we've got like all of these things. And then they take up a lot of space. And they do need planning. One of my friends actually said he actually writes everything down of what he actually needs to take, and then you go tick box, I've got this, I've got this. Because like you can forget something as simple as the actual bottle. You make the bottle and actually forget it. And you realize an hour and a half into the trip that, oh wait, I actually forgot the bottle. And so yeah, it's the tiny things. It's the tiny things that you on the road now you forgot the diapers.
No, that's
Yeah.
not good. That's not well. I mean, you see, what I'm liking about this, Mandla, is that because you've done it as often as you have, you've developed a system that the rest of us get to learn from, right? So if we don't travel very often, we forget about the things
Yeah.
that we need to take into consideration. And if I may just deviate slightly so that I can also tell an embarrassing, cool story about stuff that we've packed and taken along. So Zoe, my daughter, is 7 years old. She has epilepsy and she has developmental delays. And there was one weekend we had booked away with friends that were traveling overseas, and it was potentially going to be the last time that we would see them. So we traveled together, and Zoe fell ill. Now, in this means there's that much more stuff that you end up using and potentially needing, right? What if you need a thermometer? What if you need medication that you don't, all those potential things that you might need to take along with you. And in Zoe's case, she had built up a lot of phlegm, and it meant that clearing her nasal passages was exceptionally difficult. I kid you not, I packed a vacuum cleaner in my car together with all the other stuff, just in case I needed to use one of those really awful nasal sucker things. You know what I'm talking about. We all know what I'm talking about. So the additional paraphernalia, the additional things that we need to think about beforehand, that in itself is stressful enough, let alone the traffic that's going to be on the road, or the number of pit stops that you're going to need to take, or the clothes that you might have forgotten. And so I'm definitely going to take that note from you to come up with some sort of checklist and make sure that I have certain things done 2 days in advance. Why not? I can put them aside
So
2 days in advance.
that leads me
Easy
to my next
peasy.
question, and this is probably a question that a lot of non-parents would be asking right now, right? Because Mandla, early on, you were like, we first have to decide whether or not we're going to take the kids with us, right? And that's cool that you can do that. A lot of people can't do that, but my question would be, if you don't have to take the kids with you, why would you? Sean's just talking about how we have to plan ahead, how it's so hectic, how it's so stressful. The whole point of this conversation actually is that traveling with kids can be really intense and stressful and hectic. And so the obvious question, and I think we as parents don't think it's obvious, but for anyone who doesn't have kids, and I know because I have my friends that have kids, they'd be asking, why would you do this to
Why take
yourself?
them if you don't have to? Yeah.
So what's your
No, I
what would
think
you
it's
say?
very
What would you say
it's
then?
I mean, traveling with your kids is something special, and it's something that no one can ever take away from them, and no one can ever take those memories away from you as a parent, right? We live in a different time. Like everything is quick. You sleep today, you wake up, it's already Friday. Like everything is moving so fast. We're caught up in our day-to-day jobs and every other thing that we do, social activities, whatever the case may be, that if we don't take the time to just slow things down a bit and just do things with the family, we're going to wake up and our kids are like 15, 18, 20. So for me, it's very important that as much as we obviously, I think it's very obvious that anyone would want to travel without the kids, but I mean, you are missing out on spending time with them. You're missing out on making memories with them. You're missing out on learning about them, because when you travel with your kids, trust me, like you realize things about them that you didn't know. So, for example, my daughter is 6 years old, and we've got a really sort of standard routine of what she does at home, from the time she gets back from school, what she does, and all of that. And I mean, with a routine like that, you actually tend to think that, oh, my daughter's all grown. But if you take her out of her like environment where she's used to everything and you put her in a different environment, you actually see that like she's still a baby. She still needs a lot of love. She still needs a lot of attention. She still needs a lot of learning. There's still a lot of development for her to accomplish, right? And things like that you wouldn't be able to see. I'm not saying it's only through travel that you'll realize things like that, but I'm saying for us, that is our thing. So in moments like that, in us traveling, we get to learn a lot about our kids. We get to experience things with them. And they get to experience things for the first time with us. And again, those are memories that you can't take away, you know? Like 20 years from or 15 years from now, she'll look back and say, I did this with my mom and dad first. I did this with my mom on that trip. I did this with my mom and dad on. So for us, I think that's what's most important, and that is what, even though it is a hassle sometimes, but I mean, when you think about all of those opportunities, all of those moments, then like it becomes sort of easier for you to be like, no, we're actually taking the kids. So we always have to be like, are we? Are we not? No, maybe we shouldn't. But yes, we should. But no, maybe not. Okay, but maybe we should. You know. So I think for us, it's that way. It's just all of those precious memories, all of those first time experiences, learning more about them, learning more about their personality. Because like I say, even at home, like everything is like standard. You know, and you get to know only the personality that you know at home. But I mean, you put your kid in a different environment, you see a different personality and you experience someone different, you know? So yeah, I think that's why we still do it.
Yeah, I think to that extent, Mandla, there's something about spending quality time in close proximity with one another in an environment that's not your home, because it changes the stories you talk about, the things you see, spotting things in the distance and looking at that, or taking a photograph of something together. It does encourage vocabulary development, especially if we're talking
Hundred
about young
percent,
kids.
yeah.
Explorative play, all of those things, as you're also building memories together. And hopefully, with all of that energy spent, they sleep really well. So, this is.
They never sleep well, Sean.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes, yeah, no, they're too excited. Especially my daughter. She screams from the time we leave to the time we come back. And it's always a hassle. Yeah, she's sleeping now. She's in bed. But if we were away now, she would still be awake. Hi, she's got so much energy, you know. So yeah, sometimes they do sleep, sometimes they don't, but mostly they don't.
I also think that with kids going, I mean your oldest is 6 now, probably starting to go to school. I'm seeing this a lot with my kids now. They're 8 and 9, and they're already getting really mentally tired by the end of the school term. Like they're already drained by life in the way that we are as adults. They're already starting to get that experience, and I think there's also that benefit for them to all the benefits that we experience of going away, getting out of a comfort zone maybe, or getting a bit of a change in our routine. All of the benefits that we get from that, they also get from that. They also get, their cup gets filled in the same way that our cup maybe gets filled. And just as you guys are talking, I was thinking that we just went away for a week recently, near Swellendam, so like halfway between us and where you are, Madla. And as we're driving that way, it's kind of on the way to Plett, which is where my wife used to go with her family when she was a child. And she was still thinking about, oh, this is where we used to stop to get a sandwich. Oh, and this is the place where they used to have these strawberry things, or and it's all of these core memories that she had, the feeling of being in the back seat, singing and listening to her dad and mom talk and playing music and being annoyed by her brothers and all that kind of stuff. Those are still now, all these years later, not that she's that old, but all these years later, it's still there. And I think that's really the thing that's inspired me, because I'm not a traveler. I don't like traveling that much, really. That's not something that I'm used to doing. But seeing her talk about that experience now as an adult has really inspired me to always be kind of willing to make these more experiences for our kids. But then, and then seeing someone like you do it as well is core to it. Can I just one last question? Sorry, Sean. I've spoken a lot, so just Sean's like whatever, too. I apologize to him every episode because I'm always over talking. The you know, so we kind of have spoken about the times when you have gone, yes, we should take the kids with us. This is an opportunity to have great family core experiences. But there are times you've chosen not to take the kids with you. Do you ever feel
Yes.
guilty when you've made those decisions? And how do you avoid that guilt feeling?
No, always. We always do. Especially my wife. She's always the first one to say, "Let's call and check in. I wonder how they're doing now. Have you phoned? How are they? Can we do a video call?" And yeah, so I think yeah, there've definitely been times like that where we've actually felt guilty about it. But I always know that whenever we make that decision to say, maybe not this time, it's always for like a valid reason. Valid reason, for example, the place that we're going to only has one, call it like one room or something like that. There's not enough space, or they actually don't even allow children there, or it's just maybe too far for them to drive for like 5 hours sitting in the car. Or so we've actually made those decisions, kind of based or like just looking after their best interests. So I think knowing that, it actually makes us it eases the guilt a bit.
Yes.
But we still have the guilt.
So
We still have the guilt, but I think it,
if you were choosing to not take the kids with just because you needed a break from the kids, that would make you feel really guilty. That's the real guilt feeling.
that would make us feel really guilty. And no, so to be honest, we've also had trips like that where we're like, okay, now it's literally just us distressing, right? Adulting is not the easiest thing out there, especially in today's world. It's like everything is so fast. It's just stressful. There's a lot going on, and obviously we would understand that. Our kids won't understand that now. So we have taken time off to say, no, we need a break. And I think that's okay. The guilt will always be there, but I mean, it's okay, for us as parents to say, this weekend is ours. Let us go and recharge, reset, and come back and be the best parents we can be to our kids. And I think that's also vitally important. We can't just keep going and going and going and pretend that having children isn't a full-time job on its own. It is. It really is. And especially if you're trying to do things like travel, try to add travel to that, it becomes pretty hectic, pretty quick, actually. So at some point, we do need to take a step back, realign ourselves, find the equilibrium again, and then get back into the family life again. So I think, yeah, for parents that do that and feel guilty, I think the guilt will always be there. But I think it's also important that we take care of ourselves and just make sure that we're always in the right mental state to be able to to be the best that we can, like in terms of like our family life and at home and all of that. Yeah.
Really great message. Very good message. Two questions from me, if I may. One, have you attempted flying with the kids yet? And the second one, which might be the first question, I've, butchered this. Where did your passion for traveling come from? Is it something that was instilled in you from a young age?
Okay, yeah, so we flew with our daughter, I think 2 times.
Okay.
I wasn't there for the first experience. She flew down with my wife. They were going home. And the second time I was there. So we've flown with her twice. And from what I've heard, she actually loved her first flight.
Okay.
And everything was a breeze. Everything was nice. I think these people are so free-spirited, everything to them is super enjoyable. So she actually enjoyed that. And the time when I was around also, I could actually see that she actually really, really enjoyed it. So I haven't done it with Zoe now, but I'm sure it's coming sometime very soon. And then my passion for travel, I can't honestly, I can't say it's something that I grew up with. I can't say it's something I grew up doing. I didn't grow up traveling. I wasn't exposed to a lot of places and a lot of things. I was always in and around the Eastern Cape. I think I actually even left the Eastern Cape like after varsity, or even just to go to like the next province. So I wasn't, it's not something that I grew up doing. It started when I met my wife at the University of Fort Hare. And there was just something about her that just brought out this side of me of like wanting to explore with her more, wanting to get out with her more, wanting to try things with her more. I remember in 2015, 18, I think 2018 was the official year where we were like, we're gonna go, we're gonna explore, we're gonna travel, we're gonna do, yeah, we're gonna go see all of these different places. And that's when I just gotten my first official real job, which came with a car and everything and everything. So we had access to doing it. And then we just started exploring like places nearby. She was based in Ellis at the time, and I was working in East London. So I'd go see her in Ellis, and then we'd go maybe to Hogs Back, which is like a beautiful, beautiful place. And we never really got to go there like when we were students. So yeah, we started exploring like locally in East London, just outside of East London, Queenstown, around Mthatha. And those are all the areas I was like working in, or we had something to do there. So I remember what we used to do. I would tie up my work trip to like a weekend away for us. So I would go and work. Let's say if I'm working in Mthatha for that week, I'd go work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then when it's time to go home on Friday, I'd actually book a stay for us for the weekend. And then that's how it started. And then from there, we just kept on, like the hunger just kept on growing. Because again, I think there's something so special about like traveling with your partner and your family. It's all the, I think it's like, it's all the memories, it's all the different sides, the different personality that you get to see about the person. And I think it's very important, actually. Again, it's not to say everyone must travel, right? I won't be that naive to think that everyone has access to doing it. But I think it's very important for like couples to find that one thing that they both enjoy and that they can both do, which will be a component in their relationship that will actually help them build a stronger relationship, get to communicate better, get to do something together. And it's actually, it's beneficial to a relationship. It actually builds a relationship. It builds its character. So there's a lot of benefits to doing something with your partner. So yeah, I think, yeah, that's when we started traveling, 2018. And yeah, we've never looked back.
Wow,
Good on you.
you've made romance between a couple into the, you've added the romance of travel, and you're making the rest of us look awful. Thank you so much,
So sorry for that.
Mandla.
No, so sorry for that. So sorry for that.
Oh no.
You guys are just, you're just asking all the right questions.
I want to say, do not apologize. You're doing
Yeah.
all the right things. You're inspiring us along the way. And I also got to say that, when we were thinking about having kids and you're kind of imagining what kind of parent you would be when you have your children, the idea in its naivety was always to get out and to do things with my child. I wanted my child to be able to fall asleep in a noisy environment, right? I didn't want to, I want to be able to go to a music festival for argument's sake and take them with, because my life shouldn't necessarily stop because theirs has started. And I know there are differing thoughts around that in terms of parenthood. And sometimes you're blessed with a child that adapts very easily and very quickly, and other times you aren't. So I'm very glad to hear that you've managed to create an environment that fits your lifestyle and that your children are benefiting from that along the way too, that you're able to maintain that for your sakes, your marriage, your relationship, your partnership, as well as for your children's benefit too. I think that's really great. Well done. Well done.
No, thank you for that.
We have an
Thank
applause
you
button
for
somewhere that we use occasionally, but I think it's I think it's gone on a trip. I think our applause button has gone on a journey.
back from holiday.
There we go. So, Mandla, thank you so much for joining us and giving us all of the insights that you have from your journeys and your experiences. If other people want to be as jealous as I am, and or rather maybe other people are healthier than I am, maybe they'll can go to your Instagram account and they can just enjoy what they see and not kind of hate you a little bit. No, I don't. I really do like the videos and the photos you take are honestly breathtaking, and you are someone who does
Thank you.
you're not just going to great places, but you've worked on your craft to enhance the beauty of those places as well, which is a whole other conversation that I think we should all have one day. But
I'd
if
love
other
to.
people want to see what I'm talking about, where can they find you?
Okay, no, thank you so much, Terrence and Sean, for having me. It's been a great conversation. Yeah, so I'm on predominantly Instagram, and it's Mandla underscore Dambuza. Also kind of gotten onto TikTok. Again, there it's Mandla Dambuza, and then Facebook, Mandla Dambuza, literally Mandla Dambuza on all platforms. I'm on Twitter, but I never use Twitter. I just use Twitter to go check what's happening. Oh, X.
X. I don't know what
I'm on X, but I'm just there. It's like my news portal. I just go there to check what's happening. I never post anything there. Yeah. So Mandla Dambuza on all platforms. And yeah, that's me.
Well,
beautiful. Keep inspiring, my friend. Thanks so much for joining us.